Except
Order!
He's around him querying the use of the term friend.
Would my right honourable friend, except from those of us on this side, who share her objectives, whatever our roles may have been in recent weeks, that this is a day, this is a time of sadness and happiness. Sadness for her from the great well of affection that exists throughout the house. Happiness in celebration of what has been, is, and will remain the greatest peacetime political reign of this century, and a day of dedication to sustain and build on the massive achievements of Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
Should be said, most of the noise there coming from the Conservative side.
May I thank my honourable friend. The same person in a slightly different capacity will be available to serve Britain in whatsoever way it happens.
Labour leader Neil Kinnock.
Mr. Speaker, may I pay tribute to the Prime Minister and to her decision this morning. She showed by that she amounts to more than those who have turned upon her in recent days. Mr. Speaker, the Right Honourable Lady, I know, considers the principle of choice to be extremely important, and that is rightly so. Does she agree with me that the people of Britain should now be given the power of choice in a general election?
Mr. Speaker, may I thank the Right Honourable Gentleman for his earlier comments. In reply to his later question, the answer is no. No more than we had an election when Mr. Wilson changed to Mr. Callaghan.
Mr. Churchill!
Is Winston Churchill, Conservative.
Is my honourable friend aware that she deserves the gratitude of the entire nation for her part in bringing to an end the Soviet part in the arms race and burying once and for all the Cold War between the superpowers? It is in that capacity that she will be remembered as the greatest peacetime Prime Minister this country has ever had.
I'm grateful to my honourable friend both for his staunchness in defence and for his remarks. It was a great privilege to attend the CSC conference in Paris and to sign some of the disarmament agreements and for the new CSC, which really ushers in a new order in Europe and I hope a very successful, peaceful one.
To Ashton.
Liberal Democrats leader Paddy Ashton.
I say to the Prime Minister that many of us recognise that she had to take a very tough decision this morning, and we believe she took the right decision and took it with great dignity. May I also say to her that however wide our political divisions, and they are of course very wide, no one can doubt the special style she's brought to that dispatch box, nor her courage, conviction and determination that she has brought to her premiership. Mr. Speaker, perhaps I might ask her to use this opportunity to offer to the House any advice she might have for her successor.
Mr. Speaker, apart from the last bit, may I thank the Right Honourable Gentleman for his kindness. May I remind the House that I expect to be here on Tuesday afternoon and possibly even on Thursday afternoon. So I hope the House will be as kind then as it is today.
Mr. Teddy Taylor.
The next question now about agricultural reform from
Mr.
Teddy
Speaker,
Taylor.
I raised this matter at the last European Council. The government has played a central role in supporting the European Commission's proposals and enabling the community to table its offer at the GATT talks in Geneva.
Teddy Taylor, a Conservative and staunch supporter of the Prime Minister.
Jobs and prosperity in Britain and throughout Europe could be seriously affected by an international trade war unless the EEC produces a meaningful reform of the absurd late and costly CAP. Would you remind the bright chaps who are now standing for election that the average cost per household of the CAP is now £5.20 per week more than the total net cost of poll tax per household? And would she finally accept the good wishes and the gratitude of all South End East Conservatives for the fantastic job she's done for common sense, for freedom and for democracy?
Mr. Speaker, I very much agree with my honourable friend. Jobs and prosperity depend upon getting freer trade, and we played a prominent part in that recently at the last European Council and in getting proposals tabled to GATT. I will, of course, respond to my honourable friend's invitation of reminding my colleagues who are standing for election, but let me say this to him. I shall remind them whether they're standing for election or not.
Dr. Codman.
Would Dr. Norman Godman, Labour.
Agree with me that it is absolutely essential with regard to the decisions taken at that meeting that our hill farmers be given the protection that they so manifestly deserve. Yeah, yeah. And would she also agree with me, given the assurances that she has given to me in the past, that there is an awful, a very serious warning in that decision, in those decisions, for our fishermen, vis-à-vis the changes that the Spanish and others would like to inflict upon the common fisheries policy. If she is not to be here to defend our fishermen, will she urge upon her successor that they too are worthy of our defence?
Mr. Speaker, I think for once I can agree with the honourable gentleman. Our hill farmers are absolutely vital to the health of those areas and to the health structure of those areas, and we have therefore tried to increase the grants available to them because we recognise their importance not only to farming but to the rural areas. With regard to the fisheries question, it has always been one of the most difficult in the community, and so far we've got a pretty good deal for our fishermen. We shall continue to try to do so, but as he knows, there is this vital question of the fishing boats pending, and many, many people will be very happy when that is resolved, preferably to our own advantage.
Damon Lane, Kellett Bowman.
Conservative.
Friend, except from me, the love and affection of millions of people in my part of the world who have looked to her over these years with the greatest admiration and delight.
Yeah. I'm particularly grateful to receive that from my honourable friend. We were at college together, and I think have been together ever since.
Mr. Greville Janna.
The next question asking the Prime Minister's engagements today.
I refer the honourable gentleman to reply if he's asked the question. I refer the honourable gentleman to reply that I gave some moments ago.
Mr. Greville Janna.
General Labour MP now asks his supplementary.
May I be permitted to thank the Prime Minister for many personal kindnesses which he has given over many years to backbenchers on both sides of the House. And may I at the same time say how deeply concerned my constituents are that she has left the place in such a shambles. Is she aware that they are desperately worried about poll tax, about the deepening recession, about the health service? They are worried about the educational system and about the whole shambles. Will the Prime Minister indicate who she thinks should take a share in the blame for what is, after all, a Conservative mess?
Well, the honourable gentleman always was quite a good advocate. He could speak to any brief, and I don't believe he believed a word of that.
Well, laughter from the Conservative benches and quite a few people on the opposition side joining in.
Sir John Stokes!
Sir John Stokes now, Conservative MP. The Speaker calling for a bit of hush.
Sir John Stokes.
Does my right honourable friend not agree that the age of chivalry is gone and has been succeeded by those of economists and calculators? Does she further not look back with pride and satisfaction at all those years when she's leader of this country and a world statesman?
I think, Mr. Speaker, the age of chivalry will not have gone so long as my honourable friend is a member of this House. And yes, in response to his question, I do look back with some pride and some satisfaction at our achievements for our country over the last 11 and a half years.
Sir John is often referred to jokingly as the member for the 19th century. Ken McGuinness now, the next question. After.